For over 100 years, Jones Topsoil has been part of your community, delivering topsoil, mulch, sand, and gravel. Slinger Jones, bringing it home to you. Whether you're planting a vibrant flower bed, growing your own vegetables, or giving your lawn a fresh start, be the envy of the neighborhood with topsoil and mulch from Slinger Jones. For greener lawns and brighter flower beds, call 1-800-TOPSOIL. Order online at jonestopsoil.com.
Jones Topsoil brings it home to you.
Keep your family safe with help from Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Kidde detectors feature enhanced sensing technology that reduces false alarms and give fast alerts for more time to get out safely. Check out all our Kidde safety products and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamer Tag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamer Tag Radio, episode 1511. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me. Wait, did I say Gamer Tag Radio? It's supposed to be Project Helix Radio, just for.
Yes, it's Project Helix.
It's a, you know, a one of a kind show, you know? Project Helix. Let's do it. Joining me, we have Paris Livy. What's up, Paris?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How's everything, man?
Oh,
wait,
it's great.
While we're wearing the same shirt.
Yeah, I know. We're wearing the Project Helix. We got the marching orders, so you know we got to wear it. That's what they told us in the secret Discord. They told us, hey, when you get the Project Helix package, you have to wear it, and everything is magical because it's Project Helix. That's what they told us.
But wait,
remember
that. According to the Twitterverse or the Xverse. Why are they doing this now, Paris? Why? Have they paid us? Have we gotten a dime for wearing a shirt or sweaters?
We were paid by getting the shirt.
Wow.
That's what they told us.
I can't wait to get that check.
Like I said, when I sit in my yellow cyberpunk chair, the orders are just beamed right into my brain. That's what happens.
So you're sitting on top of a cyberpunk chair wearing a Project Helix.
Yes.
So that means it's enhanced.
Look. And holding a PlayStation controller. It's crazy.
Wow.
I don't know what's going on. It's nuts.
Yo, this is groundbreaking. I have never seen this before. Wearing a shirt.
I have to say, being serious, we're obviously being very sarcastic about this, and we're purposely trolling because I've been petty as hell all weekend. I will fully admit that.
Yeah.
Because this is the dumbest effing thing I have ever seen. This is why social media is not a real place. Why are you upset over a goddamn hoodie and a t-shirt? Seriously. Xbox, obviously, I was front row at GDC. They announced Project Helix. Mm-hmm. We heard about it. I've known this since GDC that this was about to happen. Look, I don't know about you, but this is a high-quality, nice t-shirt. I'll be rocking this at the gym. The hoodie, look, I'm about to go on an international trip. I'm bringing the hoodie. I will be wearing a hoodie out in the streets of the world, okay? I'm just letting you know this now. And there's nothing wrong with it. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. It's the name of the next Xbox that's coming out. It's not even the name. It's the project name. Right? We don't even know what the real name of the Xbox is.
We could guess.
Here's what it is. To see the fake outrage over this is quite honestly comical. We're grown here. We're adults here. We're not children. Like, again, it's social media. I honestly shouldn't even be addressing it, but it's just so ridiculous to me that people are getting bent out of shape over something that all companies do, by the way. This is not new. This has been going on. Look, you and me been around a long ass time. I've seen this for 20 years doing this. So it's not new, but all of a sudden it's an issue now. It's just weirdo stuff. And by the way, because I've seen the sentiment about, and I'm being serious when I say this, I've seen the sentiment about, well, they should be doing something for the fans, show support to the longtime fans and all that kind of stuff. They're about to do that. Why do you think FanFest is going global this year? Mm-hmm. Those are the events. Like, I remember the last Fan Fest they did because that was Starfield time, right? Remember, we got the Starfield jackets and all that stuff for review. But at Fan Fest, fans that were there got an opportunity to get the same exact thing that we had. Mm-hmm. It was no different. I have no insight. I don't know what's going to happen. but I am pretty gosh darn sure when they do these fan fest events around the world, by the way, it ain't just in LA. They're going to be in freaking Japan. They're going to be in Germany. They're going to be in London. They're doing one in Seattle, which we assume will be on November 15th. They're doing one in Canada. They're going to give fans of Xbox an opportunity to all come together as a community, and they're going to have special merch. I know they are. I'd be shocked if they didn't. So anyone that wants an opportunity to get some kind of memorabilia, if I could say it correctly, or collector's item, you're going to have that opportunity at FanFest. That's going to be their way to say thank you to the community, to the people that have been around since 2001 supporting Xbox. That's that opportunity. So, again, it's social media. People just yapping. Yeah. But it's going to be fine. Obviously, we're just wearing this to be funny. But yes, there will be opportunities to get stuff like that.
People, and I look, what one thing that I wish Xbox would have done, they should have an event in New York. New York has so much history with Xbox, and that's the only thing that the only critique that I have about FanFest, like they should have done this in New York. Hey, you never know, things might change, might happen, and you know, we'll see. Because look, one of the first events that ever happened for Xbox, like a hands-on event for fans, was in New York City. And that was Xbox Unleashed in November, first week of November of 2001. So I don't know why not New York and other cities. Hey, it is what it is, but that's the only critique I have. But I do want to mention, like, yeah, you're right, Paris. Like, this is the 25th anniversary, so I could definitely see Xbox having some type of stuff to give away to the fans that are attending events that the media and the creators are not going to get.
That has 100%.
That happened multiple times throughout the years. It's not, you know, it's not just the creators that get stuff, you know, like it happens, you know. And I'll mention one more thing is that now I forgot because you went like this.
I just want to answer your point about why creators got it, but please continue. Yeah.
Okay, now I just remember. So this is not the first time where Xbox promotes a code name project name, right? And they'll have some stuff to give away to media and the creators. Years ago, I remember it was Project Scorpio, when that was like a big thing. We all got like pins and a couple of the cool stuff at E3. I remember right after the press conference where they showed Project Scorpio, that they had like developers talking about the console and everything. And then once we got out, we got the special pins, and I wish I had it here because I have everything in a box. But yeah, we got that. So it's not nothing new, just because, you know, they did it differently. Now it's a t-shirt and a hoodie, but they've done that in the past. You know what I'm saying? So just want to mention that, because I saw that a lot online where people are saying, oh, why are they wasting time and why are they doing this so early? You know, usually it's like a year-ish, but maybe it might be different this year. Who knows? But yeah, go ahead.
So I'm going to run and go grab something to make this point, but I do want to say something about why creators got this now versus them, you know, giving stuff out to the fans. Again, it's a little bit of marketing 101. I'm not a marketing expert, so if I'm wrong on here, please correct me. But my assumption is you give this Project Helix stuff to creators because what are we going to do? We're going to talk about it. We're going to post a picture about it. I did an unboxing video. And then what does that do? People are talking about Project Helix. That's the point. That's why they do this. So again, to the point of FanFest and all these things, they'll happen. Mm-hmm. You'll get the FanFest events, and then, you know, we'll just go from there. So, I mean, it's going to be fine.
Look,
I'm actually gonna go off camera for a second because I don't want people to be nosy, but I'm show you something really quick. I'll be right back. Keep talking. I can hear you.
Yeah, and you're right, Paris. Because look, I posted. I think I was one of the first people to post this online that I got the package, and you know, just, and it looked like a bunch of media outlets picked it up. Like, this is from Game Rant. It says Xbox already sending out Project Helix gift packages. And here to talk about what it is, and here it's my post that I put up on X. So it's going around, and look, Xbox, they know what the hell they're doing. Like, they knew that this was going to go around just because Project Helix, you know what I'm saying? Now, everybody that got the package, actually, that's the box. I don't know if you guys can see it here, but in there, also came with this. If you guys see this, this is like a, a card signed by Asha. And here it says, thanks for being on the journey with us. Just want to mention that, you know, show this. Yeah, Patrick, you want to say something?
Yeah. So I'm going to show you guys something. And this is going on 21 years old at this point.
Oh, damn. This is before Paris was a creator.
Yes, and that's the point. You see that? You see that on camera? That is the Xbox 360 launch in the Mojave Desert in November of 2005. It was a zero-hour event. I attended it as a fan. I was not a content creator. You see this hoodie? This is something everyone that went to that event was able to get. You could only get it there. I actually have two of them, but I've kept this entire time. I still wear it. Again, the point is they'll do something similar to this at FanFest. So you will get something at FanFest that you can only get at FanFest. Mm-hmm. And it will be essentially a collector's item as a thank you to fans of Xbox. That's what it is. Same thing they did 21 years ago with Zero Hour. I have, I should go dig it out. I have the faceplate. The zero-hour faceplate for the Xbox 360. Again, you could only get it there. I have an achievement that I got at Zero Hour. You can only get it there. So the only people in the world that have that achievement is because they attended that event. Mm-hmm. So the point I'm trying to make, I understand. People see stuff online. Damn, why do they get it? Why are they getting it? I want it too. I get it. That's just real talk. Do more stuff for the fans. Send stuff to the fans. All I'm saying is they can't accommodate millions of people. That's impossible. So you set up events that does invite the community and that does invite fans. It's a free thing. If you get invited to FanFest, it's free. The only thing you need to worry about is paying for your travel. Mm-hmm. And you can attend, take full advantage. Like I said, I've seen the last few FanFests that they did in LA before they stopped. And it was amazing. At LA Live, and it was like a multi-floor thing. And, you know, obviously all the Xbox personalities were there. They had gaming stations, food, everybody. They had on-stage events. I was lucky enough to participate in a couple on-stage events, during the FanFest thing. You get to meet people that are excited about freaking gaming, number one. Mm-hmm. I think that's the most important thing, is people getting off their keyboards, going outside, and meeting other people that are fans of the hobby. And it's a amazing event. It's a positive event. It's not this toxic nonsense that you see on social media 24/7. It's people that truly and genuinely enjoy gaming and want to talk about it and celebrate it with like-minded people. I love those things. I'm happy they do it. I shout out to who you are that loves the, oh, this is the parasocial and all that nonsense. Who freaking cares? Honestly. It's video games. Go enjoy video games. Be a fan of video games. Stop being miserable online about this stuff, is what I'm saying. There's nothing, like, I know people that are, you have no idea how they're excited to go to FanFest in LA. And they don't live in LA. They live on the other side of the country. They're going to spend their own dime to fly out to Los Angeles and attend FanFest. We were lucky enough last year when they didn't do FanFest, Ben and, and the rest of those guys put together a community event. And I know some people internally at Xbox that helped make sure that thing happened and supported it, which was awesome. But the point is, the community themselves got together and created their own event because they're fans of Xbox. There's nothing wrong with that. Just like if you're a fan of PlayStation, Nintendo, the ColecoVision, whatever, and you want to organize an event, I'll be there, because it's about gaming. It's about the thing that we all love to do. It's the thing about getting people together and not this nonsense that we see constantly online, And look, I know and Danny warns me of this all the time. I'm petty. I get petty sometimes. I will admit it. I admit it, because I see people say some of the just craziest stuff online, and every now and again I will dip my toe in the water and I will respond, and I shouldn't be doing that. But the point of it is, don't listen to those people. They're not real. They're people that will never show you their face and just want to make you miserable because they are miserable. Gaming is supposed to be fun. Gaming is supposed to be a thing that brings us together. Celebrate that. Do that stuff. Attend event. Like, Danny and I, obviously, we've been friends for a long time. We're family at this point. But something Danny told me shit, hell, 20 years ago was go to events, meet people, you know, don't just sit at home. I advise, and when I say that, this isn't, oh, you're a content creator, all this stuff. I'm saying as a fan, if you have access to Comic-Con or a PAX or even just a local event where they're getting people together, like in Tampa, you know, they do GCX as it was originally Guardian Con, go to stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? That's great when you get to meet people that are as passionate as you are about something and not just, oh, this sucks, that's terrible, oh, the console wars, exclusives. Who freaking cares? Seriously. Yeah. Who cares? We can, like, people love to come at me. Oh, well, in 2020, you said that Bethesda was for exclusives. Yeah, dummy, because in 2020, that's why they purchased them. Activision changed everything, and then it wasn't anymore. But one thing I have always said is play where you want. Who freaking cares? It doesn't matter. Businesses will make business decisions, which is why exclusivity is a thing. But at the end of the day, you're the customer. You get to choose what the frick you want to do. So these businesses will go with one strategy and they're going to pivot to another. That's just the reality of business because it's about making money. And I know I'm tangent a little bit, but my whole point is that's out of your control what they do. The thing that you could control is where you want to play, who you want to play with, and the games that you want to play.
Yeah.
That's it.
Have fun. I have a couple things to say. So. Yeah. Paris showed that Zero Hour hoodie. I was invited to go to the event. I couldn't because at that time.
Well, you didn't go though, did you?
I didn't go. I didn't. I couldn't go because my cousin was getting married, and you know, for me, family comes first. So I went to the wedding. But yeah, I was supposed to go there, and you know, I wasn't mad that I didn't get a hoodie or an achievement or whatever because I knew whoever goes to that event, and this is like 2005, November 2005. Like I knew. There's going to be things that you only will get at that event. If you're not at that event, you're not going to get it at all. So am I mad or jealous? Like, no, like it is what it is. I made that decision, you know, but I will mention this and I'm not even going to go further, Paris, further back, further back. You see that t-shirt that I have there, that t-shirt. And I wish I had, I wish I could show the one on the backside, but this is the only picture that I have from this. That t-shirt was given to me at Xbox Unleashed, which they had two events, one in New York and one in L.A., November of 2001, 25 years ago. And this, again, was a promotional thing for Xbox to let the fans play these games, launch games that's coming out, for the first time in both of those cities. And everybody got t-shirts. They got, like, a bunch of cool Xbox stuff, you know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. Like, people think... like this is like something new. Like, yo, marketing has been doing this forever in all kinds of entertainment, movies, games, book launches, whatever. You know what I'm saying? So people need to like chill and know that it's part of the business. Like it happens all the time, you know? So another thing I do want to mention is like the other day I went to a Fanta Xbox global launch event that they had here in Los Angeles. And there, they also were giving out t-shirts and stuff that was only for people that attended that event. It was, you know, promote the partnership of Xbox and Fanta. They also gave out drinks of, like, the new drinks that was coming out and everything. And they had, like, drone shows and everything. And it was really, really cool to see. Yeah, you're going to say something?
No, I was just saying. And then the next day, I was making bad pottery, you know, for with Double Fine. You know, it's...
yeah.
But again, we're in the space where we're creators and stuff. So going back to the point of why they even sent out the Project Helix stuff, you know, sure, we look, I am thankful, lucky for any and every opportunity I get. I will never, you know, overlook it or take it for granted. Right. I want to be clear on that. But the reason I'm bringing this up is, yes, we've gotten these opportunities to do fun stuff like this. But I will say again, the business side of this, the whole point of it is. So then we're going to go talk about it. I'm going to post pictures on Instagram and I'm going to show how I jacked up the pottery bowl. And then on the second attempt, I made a cool one, right? You know, it's like stuff like that. And then I'm also talking about the game because I played the game as well. So it's like, this is how it works. And it's not just in video games. what do you think Apple and all the other do on the tech side? Marquise Brownlee, as an example, right? One of the obviously biggest tech influencers out there. They send him stuff all the time. I remember, look, in the heyday of Tesla before Elon lost his mind, where he was driving like the new Model 3 performance thing, right? Mm-hmm. Tesla's doing that because they want him to create a video about it and talk about it to get people excited about it. Why do you think he gets the iPhone early and the AirPods and all these things and other merchant opportunities that he get? Because these companies want his audience to be able to see the product so that they're interested in it. And then they're probably going to go buy it. Again, mm-hmm. they all do it. This is not new. You got Nintendo does stuff, PlayStation does stuff. They all do it. So, you know, you can be upset, whatever. I get it. That's your right. But I'm just telling you, this is how it works. And if we're not doing it, someone else will.
Yep. And you know what? I wish Ree was on because, you know, she's done a lot of marketing events and marketing things, you know, behind the scenes. This will be a great conversation for her to bring up and talk about, like, her experience, why this happens and all that stuff, because she's really good at that. So shout out to Ree. I know she's watching. But anything else, Paris? Anything else? Now, before we go to Fano, Paris, because this is a really good question that someone sent us. Why is this is the right time to do this with Project Helix, like this marketing thing right before the game showcase? Because there's been tons of theories online where people are talking about. I know we talked about this months ago, which we were like, oh, predicting, is it going to be the right time to show, talk, whatever? Is it? Do you think now things are changing? Do you think this is the right time to show something? I mean, and just keep it maybe November, I guess, like the actual announcement, like you said? Or do you think this changed things? Or is it no. is business as usual?
I don't think it changes anything. I still think they're going to talk more about Project Helix at the June showcase. But I think if they're going to put a name on it and actually show the hardware, excuse me, I don't see them doing that before November 15th. November 15th would be a milestone date to actually do it because you're celebrating the past and then the future of Xbox at the same time. So you show the console, give it a name, and then I also think that's when you see the next Halo because they're both 25 years. It just makes sense. But I don't see them doing that anything before that. This is my opinion. Other than they'll continue to talk about it. Like I would imagine June showcase, we probably hear more about their backwards compatibility strategy and some of that stuff, you know, that Jason Ronald hinted at GDC, because that is a more of a fan community focused conversation. You want to talk directly to the community about that because that's something good for them. But no, I don't think we see the hardware, and I don't think they give it a name at the showcase. Like I said, I think they'd wait till November 15th.
You know, and I'm gonna go back. You probably remember this, Paris. Remember Project Revolution?
Yes.
I remember when we heard that code name, Nintendo Wii.
GameCube? Oh, no. It was Wii. That was a Wii. What was Wii. It? Dolphin was GameCube.
Dolphin was a GameCube.
Yeah.
So with Project Revolution in the early days, people were like, yo, this name is dope. Like, Nintendo is changing the game because they had the virtual gaming console there. You could play all the old school games and everything. And I remember when Nintendo officially announced the Wii, everybody's like, huh? And people were not happy with that name at all. The reaction was just terrible at that time. But look how things have changed. It was one of the best-selling consoles ever for Nintendo. So my question to you, and this is just for fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What would be a cool name for Xbox for this next console? Should it be like Xbox Next or like whatever, I don't know, 720, Xbox 720?
To be honest, yes. I think they should keep the project name, call it Xbox Helix.
That's not going to happen.
See, he asked me what I thought. He asked me what I thought. And then immediately poo-poos on it. Immediately.
Like, can't even just project name.
You said for fun, what do I think it should be? And then you immediately shoot it down. What is wrong with you?
Paris.
It's a what if.
It's a project name.
Oh my God.
Oh
my God. How can you ask me some, hey, this is just for fun. So it's a what if. And then immediately, no, they're not going to do that. It's a project name. What's wrong with you?
Bro. But it's a project name. You know, we know it's not going to, like, look, I love Revolution and didn't keep that. Like, you know, Nintendo, like, oh my God, can I say something?
I had my hand raised. I didn't say nothing. I'm waiting.
Go ahead.
What did Asha Sharma say? What did she say?
Which part? I don't know.
I'm going to tell you what she said. She said, the plan is the plan until it's no longer the plan. That's what she said. She can do whatever she want. This is her. On her watch, the old administration's gone. They retired.
You know.
So what if she was like, you know what? I like Helix. It's Xbox Helix. What is Matt Booty and Aaron Greenberg going to come in there and go, no, we can't use the project name because they're going to be okay.
You know what it is? It needs to be catchy. It can't be Project Helix. It's not. It's just a sound marketing-ish.
You know what? Don't ask me these questions anymore.
Hold on, I don't like this. This is a good one. This is a good idea. I can see this happening because I just read this right now on Twitch. Captain Chat says, just call it Xbox. I could definitely see that. I could definitely see that.
Technically, they've already done that.
In which way?
Two consoles ago. Xbox, the Xbox One X, if you, but it is Xbox.
But that was still considered Xbox One, though.
I know. Oh, my God.
I'm asking. I'm just talking. We can't talk. Can we just talk? We can't talk.
No, we can't because I try to just talk and you're no, that's not it. You can't do that. That's you.
No. I'm just saying, like, it's still, like, Project Scorpio was still Xbox One X and S, right?
I know. I'm being funny. Jesus Christ.
I know you're being funny, but.
My God.
I mean. For you, let me ask you this for you, Paris, and this is maybe like the main mainstream audience, because you know PlayStation always has a number, Nintendo always change the names, except Switch 1 and Switch 2. Does it make sense that Xbox just keep it simple, or just like add a number, or like what could be? I don't know. Like I'm trying to figure out
or. Let's call it Xbox Helix, since Helix is literally taking two things and making them one. That's what they're doing.
I can see.
Now you see.
You see, guys, I could even say nothing bad or nothing good. He would still shut me down. You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what else to do. I really don't. I don't know. What, Game Box X? No, that's... Oh my God, what is that? God. That's a terrible name. Game Box X. X.
Being serious, I actually would be fine if they just called it Xbox. Just do that.
Yeah,
for
keep
real.
It simple.
Yeah, for real. Keep it simple.
Yeah.
You know, it's been 25 years, so it's like I think they can reuse the name again, and that'd be okay. It won't be no confusion.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, you know, like I said, being serious for a second, the reason I brought up Helix is like I said, because Helix is literally, it's going to play console games and PC games. You're taking the two and combining them into one. That's what it is. So I totally could understand that being the name. But to your point, it's a project name. So we know it's going to be called something else.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see. Hopefully we'll find out in the future. All right. So we got we got a question. I think this is a pretty good question. So It's time for fan mail.
Send us your feedback or questions. Jump. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Yeah, you guys can hit us up, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. And if you hear somebody typing, that's Paris Lilly typing really, really hard.
Well, you needed to go on WhatsApp and check what I said.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's not it. It has nothing to do with that. All right. I know. That's not the question. All right. So here goes.
At Gamertag Radio, my name is Jay, and I'm recording this on SpeakPipe from the East Coast. I never used it before, so hopefully it works. But I haven't listened to you guys for a really, really long time. I started listening to you guys in college. Not in college anymore, but I listen to you guys on my very long 50-minute commutes to work almost every morning. But I just want to say that I really, really love you guys' conversations. I think you guys have some of the best, well-articulated conversations I've ever heard. And you guys have changed my opinions on stuff. I love listening to you guys agree and disagree with each other, because I think y'all have some very, very well deep and thoughtful conversations. So I just really appreciate what y'all do so much, because I love listening to you guys talk all the time. But anyways, back to what I really want to say. I really liked y'all's episode about the PS5 price increase. You know, it's the price is just ridiculous. You know, the gaming industry is really ridiculous right now. And besides like the PS5 price increase, I really wanted to ask, this kind of relates to it, about the state of the gaming industry. So besides the PS5 price increase, you know, there's a lot of layoffs, games cost way too much to make. The gaming industry is very volatile right now. And I just want to ask, what do you guys think the gaming industry needs to do to kind of turn things back around, right? Whether that's, you know, allocating better budgets, kind of not making games as realistic, just to throw some ideas out there. Like, what do you guys think the gaming industry needs to do to turn things back around?
That's a great, great question. And first of all, thank you so much for calling us and listening to the show for a very, very long time. It's cool just to hear this from listeners, from fans, from our community, from around the world. So thank you so much. And also, I feel old. You said you were in college when you started listening to us, and now you're not. So it's all good. But thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I think just a couple of things, man. I think price, we got to lower the price, man, to make it easier for the consumers, and also especially for those who are getting into gaming. Price needs to drop for not only consoles, but games and so on. I think that's one of the ways to make the industry better, because here's the thing, like right now with like Project Helix and the next PlayStation and so on, even now with the Switch 2, it's not cheap. PC gaming is not cheap, you know. So this is only for, like, you know, people that only had money that could buy all this stuff, man, the luxury folks, you know. Is gaming now a luxury? You know, back then it was the Wild Wild West. I remember seeing these ads back in like in the 80s, especially in the 90s. Yo, the prices for games, for Super Nintendo games, was all over the place. I seen games for like $90. You know, even Nintendo 64 was expensive, those games at that time too. So, right now we're trying to, I think the industry is just trying to figure things out. Now, the thing that I've been noticing more than ever is Game developers are now doing their own thing. They are launching their own indie studios and so on, because corporate has just been all over the place too. A lot of layoffs and so on, you know. So for different reasons, right? So I think right now, and this is something that reminds me of from like the 80s. You know, the video game crash back in the days in the 80s was a big thing. But then eventually the industry will figure it out. And look where we're at. From at that time to like the most recent time, like it changed, you know. So it's going to take some time, but I think more than ever, I think gamers should be picky on what they're going to buy and so on, because, you know, gaming is not cheap right now. It's not cheap. So Paris.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, and I appreciate her sending the voicemail, man. Very, very kind words. I think she kind of nailed it herself as she was saying it. It's sure. stuff that we've been talking about already. You know, this industry is on fire, and I know some people don't want to hear that and don't want to listen to that. But I think more and more you're seeing people come out and kind of give the reality of where we are. You know, this has been a problem for the past few years. I think the PlayStation price increase was kind of the final straw and really woke some people up to kind of just see the reality of what's going on. We're being priced out of this hobby. That is not good. Games cost too much. Subscriptions cost too much. The hardware now costs too much. It is becoming unaffordable for the typical family to be able to do it. Like I said, and people can pull out their metrics and their data sheets and talk about, well, in 1985, this is what it cost this. I don't care. All I know is what it cost in 2026, and it cost too goddamn much. That's the point I'm making. And even back then, when I was a kid, it was affordable enough that my single, you know, I come from a single home family. My mother was still able to afford to get me a Nintendo. But it's not like I had a ton of games. I did have to be picky about the games that I got back then, but it was affordable enough that I never felt like I went without. We're getting to the point where you're going to be going without because you cannot expect someone to be spending $1,000 on these consoles. That's crazy. It is. And we originally thought, okay, Xbox is doing the strategy where they're just making this premium box. But look, the PlayStation and the Switch are still going to be cheap. The games are going to be there if you want to go play them. Okay, do what you want. Now they're going to be the same, you know, damn near the same price too. So what do? I said it, a couple of weeks ago. People are just going to hold on to the hardware they got. This is our. Yeah. If you already got an Xbox or a PlayStation, you're just going to keep it. And these studios, these publishers are going to have no choice but to continue to put the games on those devices because that's where the people are, because that's what they can afford. And like I said, games at $70, $80, $90, $100, that's crazy. And I get there was a time, Neo Geo, all that, where you had crazy prices on those games. Guess what happened to Neo Geo? No one bought it and it tanked. This is what I'm saying. You can't expect, especially in this economy, people to spend these prices. You just can't. And like I said, I bring up the subscription stuff. I will just simply say this and I'll leave it alone. I've said it before and I've seen people try to write novels to me justifying it. Game Pass Ultimate is too freaking expensive. PlayStation Plus Premium is too freaking expensive. People are not going to spend that amount of money on that stuff, the average person anyways. So guess what? To what you said, Danny, people are not going to subscribe to that stuff. And instead, they're going to stick to the games that they know, the safe stuff. They're going to play their back catalogs. They're not going to buy the new IPs that potentially may not be that great. And then now I just wasted $70 or $80 on it, or I'm not going to subscribe to something that I got to spend $30 a month on. And because I work 9 to 5 and I got 3 kids and I got all these other things, my time is so limited. I can't put enough hours into the day to play enough of these games to justify that price and get value out of it. That's where we are with this. So look, there's some internet ballers out there that are secretly rich off of crypto or something. I don't know what they're freaking doing, but they seem to think that, hey, it's okay to spend $1,500 on a console and spend $100 on games and spend $30, $40 a month on subscriptions. I'm cheapskate. Me personally, I don't want to do that.
Oh, yeah, fire is cheap.
And I know a lot of people that don't want to do that or can't afford to do that. So we're reaching a critical point in the gaming industry. And then we ain't even talking about the developer side of this. Development costs out of control. I know there was this whole thing this week with Legendary Drops, which I really like his content. I think he's a very smart dude. But here nor there, whether you agree with him or not, he was talking about getting game development out of California, which sparked this whole thing. Game development costs a lot. Game development in these areas with a high cost of living, you got to pay these people, right? So this is why $200-300 million for these AAA games. And the whole point I'm making on this is, fine, wherever they make it is fine. But if the budgets are that high and the game doesn't hit a certain metric, guess what happens now in today's era? Mm-hmm. The game, the studio, gone. That's what happens. It's crazy. And we keep seeing this happen over and over the past few years, right? And it's not just an Xbox thing. It's not just a PlayStation thing. The only one that seems to be immune to this is Nintendo. But Nintendo, there's very strict laws in Japan about layoffs and stuff. That's why you don't see it as much. Not to mention, we talked about hardware doesn't cost as much. Development doesn't cost as much either. So they're somewhat immune to it. But we even saw what Iwata years ago had to take a pay cut to keep people from getting laid off. Look, we know that doesn't happen in the United States of America. No, so it's a little different. But the point of it is games cost too much now. It's starting to become an elitist hobby. It's not good. It's not good. And I will never, ever, ever, ever defend that, ever. Because despite me being a quote unquote content creator, influencer, whatever the hell you want to call me. And sure, I get games to review. Sure, I get game, your hardware, stuff like that. My kids don't. Who the hell you think buying it? Me. I ain't trying to pay all that money. This is the point I'm trying to make. Even just because you might see someone like, well, you don't get to talk about this because you get something for free. My kids don't. And I'm the one that's paying for that. And that's the point that I'm trying to make here. People got families, man. People, there's way more important thing. There's mortgages and car notes and insurance and all these other things. Hey, you got to pay the light bill. You ain't got no time to be spending $100 on no damn game, $1,000 on the console. If you want gaming to succeed, we're reaching a point where this bubble's about to pop. That's just real talk. Something has to change. That's why when people get mad at me about, oh, you said PlayStation shouldn't stop being on PC. Look, if they can figure it out and be profitable, do what they want. They own the IPs. My whole point was and still is, if it's an additional revenue stream so they can make more money so they can continue to make games, keep it there. But obviously, it sounds like they're not doing that. And that's my whole argument with all this stuff. I just want great games. And we're seeing it where less and less people are going to be able to enjoy those great games. So something's got to change.
Turn your tax refund into new tile at Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Some things never go out of style, like tile from Mohawk. You can count on the durability, easy maintenance, and timeless beauty of tile. We carry a great selection of over 350 ceramic, porcelain, mosaic, and glass tiles to choose from. Head into Menards and let our helpful team get you everything you need for your tile project today. Save big money
at Menards. And I know I get a little ranty about that, but I'm watching it happen in real time. And I look at it this way. This is how I look at it. I know my kids in this current economy, as they grow into adulthood and they got to go out and get jobs and they got to be self-sufficient, they're not going to be able to afford some of the luxuries that I even had as a kid. And I just told you, I come from a single parent home, and they're not going to be able to necessarily afford all the things that I had as a kid. And that is freaking crazy. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and we had this conversation. Just imagine, Paris, you as a kid now in 2026, you go to, I don't know, Best Buy or the mall, whatever, and you see by the window, you see new console, Xbox, new PlayStation, new Nintendo, whatever. And you look at it, you're like, wow. You're not even looking at the price. You're just looking at the console, like, wow, this is the new thing, new console, right? And you tell your mom, hey, mom, can you buy me this for Christmas? And your mom go, oh, let me see. Let me go inside and see how much it is, right? And they tell her $1,000. She's probably going to look at you like, no. I'm going to walk away. Like, that reminded me in 1985, as a kid, I did the same exact thing in Paris, and I said that to my mom, like, mom, can you buy me this new robot Nintendo thing? You know, because I had the Atari 2600. And at that time, my grandmother bought me the 2600, and it was $50 because they were going out of business and all this stuff. So it was the cheapest. That's how I got it back then, right? So when I mentioned that to my mom about, oh, can you buy me the Nintendo and all this stuff? And she looked at the price, looked at me, single parent, by the way, looked at me, and she goes, nah. So I got the Nintendo later when the price went down. And now it's cheaper and affordable for my mom and other moms and other dads to buy that to their kids for Christmas. Now, if you didn't buy the current gen consoles when it came out, you got to lose opportunity because now it's more expensive than ever. That has something that we have never seen in our industry of consoles going, the price is going up years later. I've never heard about that. Yeah. It's always the price going down. And I remember this, man. I remember this is a video you can search online where PlayStation, because look, companies were very competitive. It was all about the price to get people excited for people to buy that console. I remember there was one E3, one of the execs went up on stage and just said the price of the PlayStation at the time, just I think it was PlayStation, original PlayStation, I think it was, and walked away. The crowd went nuts because it was cheaper than the competitor.
Mm-hmm.
Cheaper. And the crowd went, yo, I could do this. I could play. It's, the disc is cheaper. It's not anymore. The cartridge is more expensive. This is the new thing for people to afford to buy the console. We're not going to get to see that anymore. Now it's like everything is just so expensive. And this is one thing I want to mention too, Paris. Is it all about the graphics? Because the graphics is the reason why everything's expensive. Like, does it make sense to buy that? That's why it's working for Nintendo. Because it's cheaper than the competitor. Super cheap. Now I'm like, how a lot of the new kids are going to get into gaming now? If everything is expensive, their parents are not going to buy this thing anymore, you know? Their parents are just going to say, hey, you know what? This mobile phone that I've been having it for years, here, play this. This is your way for you to play games now.
Yeah, yeah. That's the whole point. It's a thing of, you already said it, we're in an unprecedented era right now where you were better off buying a damn PlayStation and Xbox in 2020 than you are in 2026, because that's how it was for longest. Maybe you couldn't afford it at launch, but if you wait a year or two, price drops, becomes cheaper. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can't get that the Mario 5 or whatever the hell at launch, but you wait till it's been out a little while, price drops, or you buy it used or whatever, right? Borrow from a friend. Can't do that now. It's everything's up. Everything's gone up.
And
everything's gone up except your paycheck.
That's true.
Yeah,
that is true. Do you remember, Paris, when PlayStation announced PlayStation 3 price at that time?
Yeah, $600. It then was insane.
Insane.
And how did they try to justify it? Ken Kutaragi, who just called him Crazy Ken, said, go get a second job.
That's crazy.
And then what happened? Microsoft 360 was way cheaper. This is how they essentially owned that generation, because it came out a year ahead of time, was cheaper. Obviously, the games, you got to have the games. And what did it do? It forced PlayStation to then, after the original launch PS3s, remember how they essentially had a PS2 built into it, so for backwards compatibility, had to take that out. They had to basically strip it down to it was just essentially just PS3 and lower the price.
That's when I bought it, when the price dropped. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get a PlayStation.
This is the whole point. People waited. People waited till the price dropped on the PS3. Then you start seeing people buy it more and more. And obviously by the end of the generation, they had a bunch of great games to go with it as well, but it was more affordable. So then of course you're going to get people to buy stuff. And this is, again, goes into the argument where I talk about, look, just put these games freaking everywhere, man, because we're not living the one console dream where you can own all the games are available on one console. Obviously, Xbox was starting to do that to where you could do something like that. But the point is, not everybody can afford, especially now, to buy multiple consoles. So you're going to make a choice. You can only get one. It'd be nice if all the games are available there, is the point. I ain't looking at this for no stupid console war nonsense. I'm looking at this for affordability. Make it available everywhere. If it's available everywhere, then people can decide whatever hardware they want to buy, but then the games are available to them to play.
So
now, this is how I see it.
So let me ask you this question, Paris. You know, those people that still has and plays last gen consoles, that they were just waiting for the price to drop, which it never did.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they going to go now? Are they just going to stick with the same consoles? Like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to play my old Modern Warfare games and my Fortnite and whatever. Just play it. I don't see them buying any new consoles anytime soon. I just don't see it. Don't see it at all. Unless it's like a major, major price drop. You know? And now next-gen consoles, the next PlayStation 6, the next Xbox, I mean, I know the hardcore are going to go and buy it, but man, what about the new audience, man?
And that's the point. See, ironically enough, I didn't mean to cut you off, though. This is the challenge that Asha Sharma faces, because I think all bets are off from the previous. Again, they're obviously not doing that. This is an Xbox marketing. We went into this assuming, all right, this thing's going to be premium price. They're not going to subsidize it. Maybe that changes. Maybe it changes. Maybe they do make it more affordable. I don't think we're getting a $500 console. Don't get me wrong. But what if they were able to keep it under $1,000? What if it's $800 as an example, right? That's at least more affordable. So more people can actually go buy the box. PlayStation has the same dilemma. That PlayStation 6 at $1,000 ain't moving units, man. Only the hardcore people are going to buy it. The casual moms that walk into Best Buy, they're like, oh, hell no, I ain't spending no $1,000 on no PlayStation 6. You look, they're going to be like, you better keep that PlayStation 4. I'm not buying this. Mm-hmm. This is what's going to happen. You know, my mom, God rest her soul, if she was still around, those would be her exact words today. There's no way she buying young Parrish no $1,000 freaking console. She's like, you better go cut some yards or throw some newspapers or something. Cause she's like, I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. That's just real.
Yeah. I mean, look, that's why I got to give it to Nintendo, even though it's not cheap. It's not cheap, but
they're even going up.
Yeah. Cause even now, right now, technically the Xbox Series S is the cheapest console right now. And then Switch 2. I'm talking about like the current consoles, not previous ones. But you know, I don't know, man. I don't know how this is gonna change, but like it's gonna be very interesting to see. Okay, this is the only thing I will mention. This is the part that I'm worried about, Paris. And let's just make believe. Let's make believe that Grand Theft Auto 6. Let's just again make believe. Make believe that this game is $100.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes successful at $100.
Not good.
That is an excuse. Like, hey, you know what? Let's keep it at $100. Like, let's keep it expensive because people are buying games. That's the part I'm worried about for the end of the year.
Two things on that. To your point, I'm worried about it too. Mm-hmm. Grand Theft Auto can get away with $100. Your new IP that nobody knows about cannot. And that's going to be the problem. If all of a sudden publishers look at it, and I know Take-Two has already come out and said they're not doing that. So that's not going to be a worry. But in your scenario, let's just say Grand Theft Auto 6 is $100. There are people that have literally, they will literally buy a console, spend $100 for that game because that's the only game they're going to play. So they're going to do that. We already know Grand Theft Auto 6 transcends just normal gaming. This is literally a cultural event that's about to happen. We understand that. But the fear of what you're saying is publishers see that and think, well, this is a new price. We're going to start making our games $100 too. Wrong. As Charlie Murphy said, wrong, wrong. Ain't nobody spending $100 for just the normal games, right? They're not going to do that. So people will stop buying games. That's what will happen. And then what will happen? These publishers will have to course correct, lower the price to get people to come back. But in that interim, what happens, Danny? Games canceled, studios closed, layoffs.
And we're back all over again to this nonsense.
Yeah. Yep.
So we have a couple of comments and questions because I know we're going to wrap it up in a few minutes. So this is a good one. This is from OIMDY. Lots of letters here.
Mm-hmm.
On Twitch. It says, the new audience has been growing up with living off Roblox, Fortnite, and iPad games. That's the real problem.
That's my youngest. She plays Roblox. She plays Fortnite. She plays a few Nintendo's games here and there. Other than that, she don't care about none of this stuff.
Well, here's the thing. And I can see where this person is coming from, but there was even layoffs at Epic. People from the Fortnite team. Bro, and that's in the successful
that's
game.
That's what I'm saying. Fortnite laying off, we're cooked.
Yes. Yes. It's crazy. All right. This is another question here on YouTube from Dadcast. Do you think this will create a surge for used stores like GameStop? Maybe those stores make a comeback because of expensive games.
You know what the problem with that is? They're not making real physical games anymore. They're just doing this. They're pushing everything to digital, so you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, unless you have the old consoles, that's about it. But like,
I mean, sure, there'll be some legacy stuff that's still on disc. I could see an uptick in that, but for like as we go into this next generation, man, physical media is just going away. That is going to be like having a physical game is like getting a vinyl album.
Yeah, basically. I mean, look, that's my collection right here.
Right?
That's my collection right there.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, I have something here. I can't show. I just, you only see it. It's black. That's it. I can't say what it is, but future. Stay tuned. All right. So we have another. This is another comment here. This is from Melvin on Twitch. I bought me some digital games on Xbox Series X console in case I decide to cancel my subscription for Game Pass Ultimate. Yeah, it is expensive too, man. You know? So, hey, more power to you, man. More power to you. BGamer90 says, kids that grew up with Apple iOS App Store games are now young adults. Different world now. Paris, your kids. My nephew.
I've been saying this for the past few years. My kids don't care about this, the way that you would, social media would make you think about, oh, they have a PlayStation and exclusive. Bro, give them convenience. That's all they care about.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's a different world now. This is not how we grew up. They're growing up differently.
Yeah. It's, man. Let's see if there's any other. Hey, make sure to send a couple more questions or comments here before we wrap it up here. Let's see. Oh, it's a good one. If Xbox raises game prices to 80, ha ha ha, those games will flop. But here's the thing, though. There's games $39.99 and it still flops. So
I would say Xbox has two games that could be $80 and they wouldn't flop. There's only two that I can think of right now.
Okay, which one of those? I'm curious.
Call of Duty.
Okay, I agree.
And Elder Scrolls 6.
Now, with Call of Duty, and this is because we talked to a couple people, actually, the current show, the latest Call of Duty hasn't been as successful as the previous Call of Duties. So
it's not true.
No, it's true.
I thought Black Ops 6 did fantastic.
It did, but compared to the previous one, like sales numbers is declining. Like it's not.
Yeah,
as...
but remember, well, I think to that point, I'm not trying to argue with you on it too much.
Yeah.
I think that is not 100% true because remember, it was in Game Pass. So I think its user engagement was at damn near record levels. But to your point, sales were down because you had people that played on Game Pass.
Mm-hmm. Now, my last thing I will say before we wrap it up is I know you brought this up, Paris, about PC game, Sony releasing PC games.
Well, actually, you know, hold on. No. Your wife wants you to read a comment. Do that.
Okay, which one?
I should not be the one paying attention to this. You should be.
Okay. Hey, it's hard to do this. It's hard. Okay.
Look at WhatsApp.
Okay. This shouts to Ree. Again, it's hard. It's hard to keep up. This is from Rihanna. Any PlayStation 6 exclusive with no backwards compatibility is a death sentence for that studio. Calling it now. I think that is true.
She's right.
That is 100%.
They're going to have no... I'm telling you, this next generation will be cross-platform into the 2030s.
You know,
they have no choice. Not at these prices. They have no choice.
It's not. And here's the thing. I know there's been conversation about, you know, PlayStation not releasing games on PC and all this stuff. During the preview post from like coverage from a lot of media outlets, that question came up a lot while they were interviewing the devs about Soros, right? There was no comment. There was no yes. There was no. It was just, we're here to talk about the game. I think PlayStation is going to have no choice to release this and other games on PC. That's what I think is going to happen. Because when the executives see the sales numbers of the actual game on the console and also hardware sales because of the price increase, they're going to have no choice and release it on Steam and other PC platforms. That's what I think is going to happen, Paris. I know you're laughing. I know people are going to be calling me crazy and getting mad. And look, I could care less, man. But I think that's what's going to happen, man. Because if it was 100% official, and look, I know these devs got media training because it happens all the time right before you have an event like this, right? They all say the same. It was the same answer. Oh, we're not going to be talking about it. We can't talk about it right now. I think it's going to change, Paris. I think it's not official from Sony yet. Just want to mention it's not 100% official, but I think it's going to happen.
I have no comment.
Why are you scared to say something about that?
Yes.
Oh God.
The streets are coming for me. No. Obviously, look, to what you're saying, I think it is a possibility. But I'll keep it real. I mean, Jason Schreier has been pretty adamant about this not happening. So, I mean, he doesn't talk that definitive unless he really knows something. Yeah. So I don't think we will see anytime soon Soros or Wolverine or anything like that on PC. But to your point, they can change their mind at any time.
Yeah,
we'll see. We will literally see. But I do think in the short term, Yote, Wolverine, Soros, I don't think those are coming to PC. Just going specifically off of what Jason said.
Yeah.
But there was another part to this I was going to say what you're talking. Gosh darn it. Now I'm forgetting. Oh, well.
I will say this. I will love to invite Jason on the show and just talk about this guy. I'm very curious, like, his thoughts now. Because, look, I think that was the original plan. But with everything that's going on now, you know, around the world with the economy, I think plans change all the time. You know, yeah. It's the same thing.
Hey, we literally have seen it with Xbox. Yeah. So we know plans can definitely change. Yeah. Let me see, because I remember what I was going to say, because I just saw Nightshade say something again in the chat. He had said earlier in the chat about he was surprised that I omitted Halo out of being a game that would be fine at $80. Halo has to prove itself. That's just real talk.
100%.
I love Halo. I liked Infinite. I'm looking forward to Campaign Evolved. But real talk. Halo has to, whatever this next Halo is, it's got to come out the box swinging and literally prove itself all over again. Halo, this is a wild statement, but I think everyone here can agree. Halo's not even Xbox's number one IP anymore.
It used to
be. You know what it is? Forza Horizon.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
So the fact that the game, there would not be an Xbox without Halo. Here we are 25 years later. I mean, there's an argument. There's a real argument. It might not even be in the top five. Damn, there's an argument for that. I'm not saying it's 100% true. I definitely know it's not number one. But there's an argument it's not even top five. Like, let's see what Gears E-Day is going to be, as an example, right? Let's see what Fable is going to be, you know? I don't know. And obviously, now that you have to include it, because Call of Duty don't count. That's over there. But even the Bethesda games, obviously Elder Scrolls, Fallout. I think Fallout is a more valuable IP right now than Halo.
I have two things to say. One about Fable, and here's another question I just want to mention here. What will be PlayStation 6 selling point?
I think if they ain't putting games on PC, it's going to be this is the only place you can play these games.
Is that going to be enough?
But to what Reese said, like Witcher 4, as an example, I'll bet you any amount of money you want, you can play it on PlayStation 5. I bet you Intergalactic, that will be playable on PlayStation 5. So I don't see, here's an even better one. Mm-hmm. Horizon 3 will be playable on a PlayStation 5. Because to the point, I can't see them at these prices abandoning the PlayStation 5. You're going to have these games playable on it. You have to. Mm-hmm. So to the what he's saying, what is the selling point? If you already got a PlayStation 5, say you got a PlayStation 5 Pro, maybe in the first few years, there really isn't a reason for you to go to PlayStation 6. Just like, and again, with Helix, we'll obviously see the PC stuff and all that. Mm-hmm. If you're a console-only person, those games are going to be on the Series X. So maybe there isn't a reason for you to go get Helix and spend $1,200. You might be like, hell, I just played it on the Series X.
Yeah.
We'll see. But this is the point. We're being priced out of wanting to get new hardware.
One last thing, because I thought about this when I went to the event last week, the Fanta Xbox event. And I was looking at this very closely. I was just looking. I don't know if it's too small or not.
It's too small.
Okay, hold up. Let me just get out of here. Hold on a second. Let me stop. I was looking at this. damn, let me see if I can find like a better picture. This is a small. Let me look for a bigger. Give me 1 second, guys. Let's see if this works. Okay, much better. I found a better one. Okay. So I was looking at this at the event, and I'm like, Xbox 25, big year for Xbox. Forza Horizon is coming up very soon. Make sure to check out our preview. Fantastic, fantastic game so far. Call of Duty, Diablo, which, you know, Diablo still has been out, new content, all this stuff probably. Halo, World of Warcraft. Why no Fable for this campaign? Is it still coming out this year? I might be wrong, but I find that so odd. It's one of the biggest games also for Xbox. Like, what is not, why that game is not part of this, campaign?
Well, to the point of what you're saying, we were talking about this on Kind of Funny last week. Ago, because we were talking about our fantasy critic draft, and Mike had picked up Fable. And I was like, Mike, I don't know, bro. And we kind of all agreed. I was like, it would not shock me if they delayed Fable. And honestly, I'd be okay with it. The back half of the year is already stacked. If Fable needs the time and you want to give it room to breathe, I kind of like what they did with Avowed. Put it out in February. I'd be fine with that. Or, like I think Mike was saying, he thinks December. He thinks it comes out after Grand Theft Auto 6, similar to Indiana Jones, and they drop it in December. That's what he thinks. I can see that too.
Is it the right time though, man? Right after people buy GTA 6? Like, I don't
know. No. And that's the point of how much time do you want post GTA 6 to try and put a game out? So that's why I say February. Put it out in February.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah,
December,
yeah.
Way too close. Because, yo, everybody's going to be talking about GTA. Nobody's going to be talking about other games.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. They've been working on this game for a long, long time. Why are they going to release it and then flop it? You know, it's going to flop because it comes out super close to the release of GTA 6. You know, so, like, it doesn't make any sense. I can see this game getting delayed.
Because now let's revisit the timeline here. Just rumors and speculations that we've seen, right? It seems like there's a data leak that Campaign Evolved is coming out the end of July. And we had already thought maybe it was August anyway. So that kind of lines up.
Summer, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So then Gears is probably, if I had to guess, this is just guessing, is either September or early October, and I've heard a lot of whispers that Modern Warfare 4 is going to be the end of October. So in that timeline, where the hell do you put Fable if it's before Grand Theft Auto 6? You're not going to put it out in November. You want Gears E-Day to have some room. Not to mention, you got to look at what your competition's doing. Wolverine's coming out in September, so you don't want to put it out around Wolverine. There's that Ocarina of Time leak. Where's that in there? That's going to be a thing. Star Fox, I guess they said it would be in the summer, so we'll see. But you got to think, I need Fable, even though it's not a new IP. It's been gone so long, it's a new IP to most. So you need to give it room. That's why I won't be shocked if it's delayed. I won't.
Over the top, 1950 on YouTube. Halo July, Gears the end of August, September open for Fable. But what about Gears?
I don't think Gears is August. I think September, October. And you could be the chat person. I appreciate that. I'm not saying you're wrong. Hey, look, great. The sooner we get it, the better. But that to me seems like it feels like an October game to me. That's why I kind of just think early October. And I don't, like I said before, we know when, I think, what did I say, Wolverine? Is that in middle of September? Was it the 15th or something?
Something like that. I can't remember.
I don't see them putting out one of their big games at the same time as Wolverine. I just don't see it. Because Wolverine himself is the second most popular Marvel IP after Spider-Man, in my opinion. So I think that's going to be a big deal when that comes out. That's why I kind of think maybe early October, and then the end of the month you get Call of Duty at the end of October. I could see that. That's just me speculating, but obviously we'll see.
Here's another thing that we haven't talked about, Paris. I think releasing Fable in February, which I truly believe that makes more the most sense, is also you want to have your core audience for the next big thing, which is Project Helix. So if you have multiple games, and again, we'll see during the game showcase in a couple months, I think by doing that, you hype people up and for them to get excited for the next thing too. Because if there's no games in 2027, there's no hype for people to buy. There's no reason people are going to buy the next console. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? Because it looks pretty? Like, come on, that's not enough. It's all about the games at the end of the day. So I think having this game released in February makes the most sense, man. Away from all your first-party games and away from the big competition. Just breathing room. December is too close. I think Mike is wrong on that one. I think
he could be. We were just obviously just speculating. But yeah, to the point, that's why I just think February makes a sense. Because like I said, when you really start breaking down August to the end of the year, where's the room? Where's the space to do that? And to your point about Helix, and they've not officially said it, but we all assume that's holiday 2027. Like, I think a game like Clockwork Revolution is probably a launch game for it, right? That just seems to make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It seems like State of Decay 3, like I think State of Decay 3 would have come out before Helix, but State of Decay 3 is looking like that's next year. We obviously know there's going to be a Call of Duty. Of course, that's going to keep going. I don't know what else they would have, because I don't think Halo would be ready by then. So, I mean, I don't know.
Damn, you know what? Thinking about it, like, all these games coming out this year, what about next year? The year that supposedly Helix is coming out, like, what games are we going to get to see? Can't depend on Call of Duty.
Again, allegedly, Machine Games is working on Wolfenstein 3. That could be a possibility as well. Because when we start adding in the Bethesda side of it, we don't know a lot of stuff that they're working on. We do know. When the layoffs happened last summer, and Xbox obviously reached out, you know, and kind of gave us a heads up on what was going on, part of that was that they have over 40 games currently in development. So I do think, especially with this being the 25th anniversary year, I think this showcase is going to, we're going to see some stuff. Remember Blade's probably next year.
Blade.
So this is the point. We're probably going to start seeing stuff that we don't even know about yet at this showcase. And along with a game like Blade, because I think that was even rumored to be shown at the showcase. And this would be stuff that's scheduled for 2027. So I think they'll have, like, look, they got enough goddamn studios. They better have something.
Yeah, they got something, man. Yeah. So. Yeah. Cause here's the thing. Like, if you don't have, oh my God, if there's no hype for what's coming, like what's coming 2027, bro, I just can't see people like, oh, I'm going to buy a Helix. Like, I don't see that. You need that one big game. And let me ask you this, Paris, cause remember the 360 era, what was that big game spring 2006 that came out at that time?
Oblivion. Yeah,
this could be it.
Trust me, your boy was there. I remember.
Yeah, 2028 after the launch, the launch window, that game should be part of the launch window for Project Helix. That's gonna get people excited, man.
Yeah, if they tease. Okay, so here's a couple things Bethesda themselves can do at this year that obviously is coming. To your point, Todd finally gives us a real update on Elder Scrolls 6. To your point, it's not at launch, but it's in the window. Like, people get hyped. Bro, if they show a new Fallout, I'm just telling you. To me, until proven wrong, that has been the biggest fumble, that they have not had something ready to go with that TV show. I can understand season one, you didn't have the foresight. Obviously, we even went to the event, Fallout 76, they got some content in there. But they need to officially announce, we are working on New Vegas 2 or Fallout 5 or whatever the hell, Fallout California, LA, or whatever is going to be called. They got to announce it. And they got to be like, it's coming sooner rather than later. Like I said, if I had to argue right now, when I think about And I'm talking like franchise games. Like I said, right now, Forza Horizon is probably their number one. Mm-hmm. I would say Elder Scrolls is two, but they obviously take so very long to come out. But then I'd argue it's Fallout. If I think about Xbox's, where you get sequels, ongoing franchises, that would be the order right now. And then maybe Gears, when I think about it that way. You got to start talking about these games, man. You got to start showing stuff. This is why I say again with Asha Sharma coming in, it's going to be very fascinating to see how her approach is going to be on this. Because we've talked about it before. If you really look at her resume and you look at her background, she's literally the wolf from Pulp Fiction. That's what she does. She comes in to an existing product and she fixes things. And she creates user engagement around it. We're already starting to see that. She's already done little small things that have had the community excited. Obviously, the achievement thing that's happened, stuff like that. She's already doing it. And I've told you from the get. Actually, I'm not going to say nothing. I'll leave it alone.
Yeah.
Point is, she's already changing little things. So we'll see. The June showcase is going to be fascinating. To see whatever next is coming,
You know what game we haven't even mentioned that I'm like, yo, this would be a good, not launch, I can see like a 2028, the Kojima game. Is it too early?
I think it's too early. And I think they're going to let Kojima announce that on Kojima time, AKA he's going to do it with Jeff.
Well, remember, it's paid by the Xbox. It's not like a Kojima.
No. I understand that. And I know nothing, by the way. I'm just an idiot on the internet, just flapping my lips. But
yeah.
To your point, obviously Microsoft is publishing it. But Microsoft also typically, or Xbox, typically at least has something at the Game Awards. He debuted it. He announced it at the Game Awards. I could see them just doing it again. Obviously, Jeff is a good friend of his, and I think he's comfortable on that platform with Jeff. I could see him doing it with Jeff again.
Now, do you see the official reveal of Project Helix at the Game Awards? Like similar to what we got to see?
Nope.
Xbox Series X?
Nope. Nope. New administration? Nope. I'm telling you, it's November 15th. I'm telling you, it's November 15th. They're going to do that fan. I'm just calling it now. They're going to do a fan fest in Seattle on November 15th because that is the home of Microsoft and Xbox. You do it there. You announce. Look, we already had this conversation offline. You do it at the Washington Convention Center. Invite everybody in there. That's where they do PAX. And you announce it there and you show it there. That's what I think. Major Nelson might be the one with the white gloves to do it. That's what I think.
That event you went to, the Microsoft, for the 50th anniversary, you went there.
I was on campus for that.
So you don't think they could do something like that for this?
No, because that thing, like they literally had to create like pop-up tent for that. It was an employee only thing. And obviously some creators and media got to go as well, but that's not for fans to come on there. Could you imagine them inviting hundreds of just fans onto the Microsoft campus? They would lose their minds. You just do it at the convention center. That's where they do PAX. It makes sense. I mean, when I did the showcase, that's where I did it. It was at the convention center. Same thing.
Yeah. I think that makes the most sense to do it. Yeah. Like you were saying, in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Show it there. Yeah. All right. Anything else, Patrick, before we wrap it up? That was a pretty good conversation. Look, we had no script, nothing. Like I just said, we have a fan mail question. We talk about Project Helix. That's it.
Speak for yourself. I don't have nothing. I don't have nothing. I was going to say, here's my script.
that's the thing, man. That's the thing I like about our podcast. We just talk about random stuff, man. A lot of theories. You know what? I would love to bring back Miss Leo predictions. It's kind of hard because
that's essentially what we just did. Was oh, Miss Leo,
Miss Leo. Wait, let me see if I have her here. Do I have Miss Leo here? No, I don't have it. Damn, I took it off. It's all good. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to Gamertag Radio episode 1511. This is a pretty long show, guys. Enjoy it, and shout out to Jane for sending us the voicemail. And everybody sending us questions and comments on Twitch, X, and also YouTube. Until next time, we're out. Peace.